Right, as we look in Ephesians chapter 1, we concluded in verse number 3 by saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And then when you get to verse number 4, in verse number 4, he says, "According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Verse 5, "having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasures of his will." And then in verse 6, "to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Now, when you look at verse 4 through verse number 6, it reveals the past part of God's eternal plan in forming the church, the body of Christ. And within his plan is shown in 7 elements right here in these few verses. We see the method, the election. He says, according as he has chosen. We see the object, the elect, chosen us. We see the time, eternity past, before the foundation of the world. We see the purpose, holiness. He says that we should be holy. Number 5, we see the motive, love. That in verse 4, he says that we should be holy without blame before him in love. And then we see the results in verse 5, which is his sonship. He says, "having predestinated us unto the adoption of children." And then number 7 is the God in verse number 6, to praise of the glory. And so we see those things, that this is part of God's eternal plan in forming the church, the body of Jesus Christ. And on last week, I mentioned to you that the Bible, it speaks of three different kind of elections. Three different kinds of elections. Well, when I talk about the word elect or election, it means to denote the action whereby an individual or group is chosen for a purpose. Again, is to denote the action whereby an individual or group is chosen for a purpose. Now, what we find, one of the elections is God's theocratic election. God's theocratic election. Now notice this. What was that? We find the children of Israel. Israel as a people were chosen by God for a special and favor and privilege. They were set apart from the nations of the earth. And so when we look at God's theocratic election, we're going to note some things. Number one, it proceeded from God's love. It proceeded from God's love. Look at, write down Deuteronomy 4 and verse 37. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 37. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6 through 8. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6 through 8. And then Deuteronomy 9, verse 4 through verse 13. And so what you see is that we find that this God's theocratic election preceded God's love. But secondly, it was unto separation. You note, write down Deuteronomy 14 and verse 2. Deuteronomy 14 and verse 2. Psalms 33 and verse 12. Psalms 33 and verse 12. And then Psalms 135 and verse 4. Psalms 135 and verse 4. So it not only proceeded from God's love, not only it was unto separation, but also it was unto obedience. Unto obedience. Exodus 19. Exodus 19, verse 4 through 6. Exodus 20, verse 2 through 17. And then Exodus 24 and verse 7. But then also, it became specialized. It became specialized. Numbers 16 and verse 5. Numbers 16 and verse 5. Deuteronomy 18, verse 1 through verse 5. Deuteronomy 18, verse 1 through verse 5. But also we need to know that out of all of this, it did not guarantee the eternal salvation of all who were comprised of it. It didn't guarantee the eternal salvation of all who were comprised of it. You read 1 Kings, 1 Kings 19 and verse 18. 1 Kings 19 and verse 18. And then Psalms 95, verse 8 through 11. Psalms 95, verse 8 through 11. So basically, what this does, when you talk about God's theocratic election, it has no bearing on personal salvation. Let me say it again. It has no bearing on personal salvation. All I'm giving you is these elections that are found within the Word of God. But then there is the second election. The second election is vocational. It was a vocational election. Vocational election. And when you think about that, you think about when the Lord, you remember, he called out the tribe of Levi to be his priests. All right? But there was no guarantee of salvation when he called out the tribe of Levi to be his priest. But also you remember when he called the 12 men to be an apostle. You know, they had vocations. They had different works, and he called them. And so we see that there is the vocational election. There is the God theocratic election. But then this last election is what we're dealing with on tonight. This last election, the third kind of election, is salvation. Is salvation. And this is the kind of which Paul is speaking in our present text. Now again, notice what he says. He says, according as he has chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world. And so you remember in John chapter 6 and verse 44, in John 6 verse 44, you remember Jesus says something there. He said, no one can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draw him in John 6:44. Now, when you look at this word draw, the word draw carries the idea of an irresistible force. Irresistible force. It was used in ancient Greek literature of a desperately hungry man being drawn to food. Demonic forces being drawn to animals when they were not able to possess men. And so what we find here is this. From all eternity, before the foundation of the world, and therefore completely apart from any merit or deserving that any person could have, God chose us in him. In who? In Christ. We just sing that in verse number 3, when he said, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And so by God's election, those who are saved were placed in eternal union with Christ before creation even took place. So what we see here is that although man's will is not free in the sense that many people suppose, he does have a will. A will that Scripture clearly recognizes. And what is that? Apart from God, man's will is captive to sin. Apart from God, man's will is captive to sin. But he is nevertheless able to choose God because God has made that choice possible. That's why we have a choice. We either serve God or don't serve God. That's the choice that you make. And so we have to understand. Jesus says that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. John chapter 3 and verse 16. John 3 and verse 16. And then he says in John 11 and verse number 26. In John 11 and verse 26, he says, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" And so when you look at verse 4, it's a lot of stuff in these verses. When you look at verse number 4, when you go back to Ephesians chapter 1, and in verse 4, when we see what he's explaining, that God, who knows everything for all time, prepared a plan for the fall of man. Watch this. Before he made man, God already knew everything for all time. God had already prepared a plan for the fall of man. God knew man was going to fall before he even made him. And so we understand that, because we understand God knows all things. God knows all things. And it is one of the descriptions of God alone. And so we understand that. We do know that the desire of God was to fellowship with us. The desire of God, we know that, is to fellowship with us. It is His desire for all to be saved. He wants all of us to be saved. And He even provided a way for that to be possible. How? In His Son, Jesus Christ. So He made it possible for us to be saved. And mankind is not holy within himself. We are righteous in Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that. We are righteous in Jesus Christ. Because He has clothed us in His righteousness. The righteousness that Jesus has clothed us in makes us acceptable in the sight of the Father. Listen, we are chosen of God. We ought to understand that. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. He says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Listen, we do not read anywhere that God has chosen anyone to be lost. We don't read anywhere that God has chosen anyone to be lost. His desire is that all would be saved. And so what that means is we of our own free will, we either accept the salvation that He offers us or we reject it. That's our choice. But understand, the choice that you make has consequences. So if you make the right choice, and that is accept salvation, what He has to offer, and obey Him, then one day we can go on and live with Him in heaven. But if we reject it, then it's the opposite. So the choice is yours. The choice is yours. In Second Timothy, let's look at 2 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Getting you a lot of scriptures tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9. Notice what he says. He says, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our own purpose and grace, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. Notice this. When? Before the world began. And so we understand that. Then we look at Romans chapter 8. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. In verse 28 and 29. Romans 8, verse 28 and 29, he says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." And then let's go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 27. Ephesians 5 and verse 27. "Because we are chosen in him." If you go back and look at verse number 4, "we are holy and blameless before him." And so when you look at verse 27 of Ephesians 5, he says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So we see from these passages of Scripture that Paul is basically talking about our position and not our practice. We know that in our living we are far from the holy standard and far from being blameless. But yet, in him, that's what makes the difference. Yet, in him, Paul said in Colossians 2 and verse 10, Colossians 2 and verse 10, "We have been made complete." How? In him. So all that God is, we become in Jesus Christ. That's why salvation is secure. We have Christ's perfect righteousness. And we have to understand that our practice can and does fall short, but our position can never fall short, because it is exactly the same holy and blameless position before God that Christ has. We are as secure as our Savior because we are in him, waiting for the full redemption and the glorious holiness that awaits us in his presence. That's why we always encourage you. You got to live faithfully. You got to stay faithful unto death. And why, as Paul had talked to them, the church, even in Galatians, why would anybody want to go back from what God has already brought us from? And so we see this. And because God declares us, leads us to be holy and blameless, we should strive to live lives now that reflect the holiness and blamelessness that are our destiny. We got to strive to live. Don't wait till you try to get everything together. No, strive to live now that reflects his holiness. That's why we are to be examples. We have to let our light so shine that others can see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And then when you go back to verse 4, the last two words that you see, He says, in love. In love. And so this is kind of links to verse number 5. It can belong to verse 5. Because the link between the verb form in these two verses, in verse 4 and verse 5, is expressed in this render. He chose us in that he lovingly predestined us. He chose us in that he lovingly predestined us. So we see here in verse number 4, so the divine choice of verse 4 is further defined by the divine predestination in verse 5. Because he says in verse 5, and we're going to start with it, he said, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. God elects those who are saved because of his love. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons. See, just as he chose Israel to be his special people, only because of his love in Deuteronomy 7 and verse 8. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 8. He has also chose the church, the family of the redeemed. And so next week, Lord's willing, we're going to be picking up with verse 5. And we're going to be looking at basically what does the word predestinated mean? What did that word predestinated mean? And then we're going to continue with verse number 5 and continue on in our study in Ephesians chapter 1. But I want to give you a few scriptures that you can read ahead from verse 5 that we're going to be talking about. You can write them down. John chapter 1 and verse 12. John 1 and verse 12, Romans 8, 14 through 17, Romans 8, 14 through 17, and then you read 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, and we'll pick those up, Lord's willing, on our next study.